Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The language was spicy. The ramifications are near infinite. Just what did the latest landmark case out of the Supreme Court do for American jurisprudence and the Trump administration? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled? Why do you think that is?
Why they would be so interested? He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think really only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say let them have it.
I heard someone was saying that, well, they can't release everything because there were like videos or something that that showed, you know, obviously children being abused in some of this, and that's why they couldn't release it. I think that's the stupidest excuse I've ever heard anybody give, because that's already illegal. You can't release that anyway. That's irrelevant to everything else. I think you just need to just put everything out there and let the chips fall. I can't believe I accidentally used the same cliched phrase as Nikki Haley. I'm going to go throw myself off a cliff. Welcome back to the program. I'm joking. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour, the chat's at Rumble. Channel 347 is the stream of the radio program, the visual component of the radio program, because that's how we do things now. So the files, I keep seeing these. I know the media is seizing on it, because why wouldn't they, right? I do want to caution people, because they're like, oh, well, the media is seizing on it. This is something that the media is blowing up. There wouldn't be anything to blow up if you hadn't had a bunch of Republicans go out there and try to agitate voters and say, oh, my gosh, the Epstein stuff, we're going to, and make promises that they couldn't keep. I mean, ultimately, that's what happened. You had a bunch of Republicans go out there and make a bunch of promises that they couldn't keep. And now everybody's mad at them. And the Republicans think that the best way to handle it is to tell everyone to get over it. That's the dumbest thing ever. That is like, I don't know, I feel that's like Stacey Abrams' strategy. Just don't do that. No, it's not true. And I was trying to think of one Republican who didn't talk about it. And there isn't one. I mean, if you go and if a simple search, or if you ask AI to pull up all the times it's been mentioned on the campaign trail by Republicans, it's pretty astounding. And I didn't want to just sit here and throw up screenshot after, you guys get the point, screenshot after screenshot after screenshot. You guys have heard the same stuff that we've heard. I mean, this was something that they really went out and they promoted, and they promised everyone that they were going to get to the bottom of this, etc. So just explain or just release everything. That's it. But to tell people to get over it, or to say that the people who want to talk about it are stupid, you can't call your voters stupid. So I think this is going to be kind of the true test. You know, Trump said, I can go out and shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and nobody's going to say anything about it. Well, are you going to be able to call them stupid over an issue that every Republican, himself included, talked about and getting to the bottom of for how many years, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so maybe not the shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue, but maybe, I don't know, or can you tell them that they're stupid for talking about it? Because that's what he said. That's like one of the new quotes. I mean, and you could say, well, he's talking about Democrats. The Democrats aren't the ones that are being the loudest about this. It's Republicans. Republicans are the ones that are talking about this over in my comments on Facebook or Instagram. It is overwhelming. Hundreds and hundreds. Overwhelming. People are livid over this issue. So the GOP needs to not allow something that should not be a distraction or an anchor that should be just an aid for them. They shouldn't weaponize it against themselves. And I feel like that's what they're doing here. We're going to come back to this because can we talk about the teddy bear made of meat? Or sorry, skin in New York. Oh my gosh. A human skin teddy bear at a California bus stop. It wasn't in New York. Sorry, they said it was a prank. Was it though? It was a teddy bear artwork, they said, that was made from human skin. Really? They said it was a prank, a very bizarre incident. Officers arrested a man after what appeared to be a teddy bear wrapped in human flesh was left outside a Southern California convenience store. Hector Villanueva, 23, was arrested in connection because somebody said they said it was reporting an emergency knowing it to be false. So callers indicated that a teddy bear made of what looked like human flesh was left in front of a gas station, and they examined it and they said it was not made with any type of human remains or skin. Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. But they are selling a human skin teddy bear on Etsy, I think. That's really gross. What? I don't know. I thought it was a labubu at first. Have you guys heard of this? No. I don't know what's wrong. So it's called a labubu. And the reason I know about this thing is because apparently I saw an adult woman with one on her giant lady purse. Oh. I'm not even kidding. It is a plush toy. I don't know how else to put it. It's like a monster toy. And it was created by this Hong Kong Belgian designer. And it's sold exclusively at a Chinese-based retailer, Pop Mart. So because I don't do Chinese stuff, so... That explains a lot of it. The CCP probably loves it. So when I heard teddy bear made of human skin, I immediately thought of a labubu. Now, they're not all like teddy bear looking things. They are, someone said it looks like a Mesopotamian demon.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And apparently a K-pop, Lisa from Blackpink wore one on her purse and it like exploded. It started in Thailand, Southeast Asia, and now grown women. So the woman, it's a friend of a friend. So I don't feel bad that I'm talking. And she's kind of a moderate, so I don't feel bad. She had a grown woman. She was like 50 something. I don't know why I'm whispering. Like she was like 50 something. And she had this huge, you know, fancy bag. And she had this thing on it. And my first inclination is to go, WTF is that, you know, and just be real. But I didn't. I was looking at it. And so I asked another woman, I was like, why does she have a toy on her bag? She was like, oh, that's a labubu. Like I was supposed to know what that was. I'm like, oh, labubu? She's like, oh, that's a labubu. I'm like, what the hell is a labubu? It's like a, I don't know. Is it like Beanie Babies? Remember when adults, I will never forget this old photo that I saw. And it was a photo of this couple that were in divorce court in the 90s, and they were dividing up their Beanie Babies in their divorce settlement. They were literally on the floor of the courtroom with piles of Beanie Babies by each of them. And I thought, my first actual thought was, well, why wasn't this the moment that society was declared dead? I don't know. So labubus are apparently really, it's hard to get the one that you want. Because you usually have to get them in what they call, I don't even, you know who explained this to me? Carol Roth. Carol Roth knows all about them. I don't know why Carol does. I don't know. They're incredibly expensive. So some of them are like, can be like $90. And then the more valuable ones can go for thousands. And when you purchase them, if you want a specific one, it's going to be super expensive. Or you do just what they call a blind box purchase and you just buy a labubu and they give you whatever one they want to give you. And it works. That kind of abusive marketing works on dumb women. I don't get it, but that does. And you ought to hear about some of this stuff. It's insane. It's like some of them were like, one of them was like $10,000. I'm not kidding you. They look like giant teddy bears that people hang on their bags. And there are stories of people that are stealing them in the street. They have safety issues because people are fighting over them. They had a human-sized labubu that was like $200,000 that sold. They had a limited edition release one a regular size one that was $31,000. All these celebrities like Rihanna and everybody else are wearing them. So now everybody else is wearing them. I mean, aren't we just talking about inflation and the cost of eggs? And now people are walking around with expensive little Mesopotamian demons on their handbags. Like, what in the world is wrong with society right now? But if you think that's dumb, you haven't seen all of it. So do you guys know what Stanleys are, right? A lot of people, I feel like, went to Stanleys after Yeti stepped in it. Remember when Yeti was really popular and then they got real dumb after Parkland and real weird about Second Amendment stuff? And then I think even before then, because I had friends that work in the outdoors industry and they were kind of turning on Yeti because Yeti was partnering with all of these outdoorsmen and women. And then anytime anybody did anything firearm related, they like would pull sponsorship or something like that. It was a big controversy. And I feel like people started gravitating towards Stanley's. Now, Stanley was what my grandpa took his coffee in when he would go hunting. And it was just like a giant green thing with a twist off. That's how I remembered it, right? Now they have the tumblers. Now, full disclosure, I have one because it keeps my stuff cold and it has a handle on it. And I almost hate carrying it out in public because I don't want to be like one of those people. But I have to have my adult sippy cup. I have to have diet soda or ice water in my tumbler at all times. It's a Texas thing. You got to have one. Otherwise, the world stops spinning if you leave the house without it. I'm saving the earth. So Stanley's, the tumblers that they have, they make, I can't even believe I'm saying this, accessories for it. Have you heard of a Stanny pack? So you have your Stanley, right?
Sure.
And you would put a backpack on it.
What?
It has its own backpack. There's one showing you right now on the simulcast.
What?
That's a Stanny pack. Now, there's different kinds. They make designer Stanny. This is what, where is Smod? Where is the sweet meteor of death?
Thank you.
They make all kinds. They have a carrier bag for them. What? So you can get like a neck carrier, like a, you know how you would have a baby Bjorn for your baby? It's like a Stanley Bjorn for your Stanley. And then you put your Stanley in it and you wear it on your neck and it has a Stanley pack. Oh, but wait, there's a Stanley pack. There's more. Oh my gosh, there's more. You can get entire skins for it, straps for your Stanleys. Oh my gosh, there's like charms. Now you might think, oh, that's real sweet that little girls have that. No. Guys, for whatever reason, fashion has convinced women to infantilize ourselves and do this stuff because there are women I like that do some of this. I don't get it. And I'm mad because I didn't invent it. That's what I'm mad about. Why didn't I invent a Stanny pack? I mean, that's a stupid idea that is making buku bucks for somebody out there right now. Right? Like they get them personalized and all this stuff. What does this say about society that it's these, what I don't, I am trying to understand the psychology of it. Like there's, especially in Texas, it's a big deal. You get your Stanleys and all the girls go to, and the guys have them too, but the guys usually have guy colors. The girls want pink and they have their names on them. They have their Stanny packs and they have all this stuff. And it doesn't matter what zip code you're in. It does not matter. That's the thing. It is unifyingly ridiculous. I don't get it. What is Kane? Would you ever walk around with a thermos that had a little fanny pack on it?
No,
you wouldn't.
No,
no,
nope. Matter of fact, those old Stanley thermoses that you referenced that your grandpa had and your dad. Well, listen, I had one and it fit right in the top of that lunchbox. That was the accessory to my Stanley back in the day.
Yeah.
I had one of those big old lunch boxes that the Stanley thermos would fit right in the lid.
Yeah. I mean, and I like, I mean, it keeps it cold, but, and that's why I have, because I drink tons of water. I take allergy medication too. So it dries out, you know, dries everything out. So I drink tons of water anyway, but I don't put like they have charms on them. And so I'm like, okay, you have Labubus and Stanleys. I have yet to see in the wild a woman with both of these things. If I do, I'm so taking a picture of her. I don't care if I get beat up in the process. I'm so going to do it. I'm just going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Don't kick my ass until after I get the photo so I can put it on Instagram and be like, what in the world? I haven't seen both of them in the wild at once, but I have seen them singularly in the wild. And I don't understand this at all. Is this like the Beanie Baby craze thing? Is that like that all? But Beanie Babies, wasn't that something that little kids were in? Were adults really into it? I mean, what does an adult do with a Beanie Baby? You don't play with it. What do you do with it? I don't get it.
Put it on the adult shelf.
What?
With all the other adult Beanie Babies.
What? I do not understand this stuff at all whatsoever. I get it that some people have the things that they like to collect. I get you. But hear me out. It's weird. Okay. It's weird, right? It's weird. I don't know. But I felt like that when I saw that teddy bear made of human skin, my first thought went to the Labubu. And then I had a friend tell me that their daughter had asked for a Stanny pack and Stanny accessories. And I didn't know what that meant. And I literally had to be explained to, like, I was five, because I didn't understand that. Oh, you buy things for your cup like you would a child. Oh, now we're accessorizing our drinkware. Why did I invent that? Guys, we are all in the wrong industry. We all need to combine our thoughts here, and we need to take over this industry, something fierce. Or we need to have a stupid idea for the next one. Like-minded folks who make great products. You guys know these have been a long-time sponsor of the show, Superbeats. These folks, they have a new product called Super Barine. It's all about healthy metabolism and healthy blood sugar support. And you can get it at Sam's Club now for like less than a dollar a day when you go in. I mean, it's that affordable. And you're going to see the difference. It's such a great product. And they have really, really done everything possible to deliver really good concentration without any GI distress with this. They use a unique berberine. It's been clinically studied. It delivers nearly 10 times higher the absorption rate than standard berberine. And it's one easy to swallow capsule a day. You get all of the benefits in one concentrated capsule a day. And they include grapeseed extract for greater tolerability, so there's no GI distress. Find both the new Super Barine and the number one best-selling Super Beats heart chews at Sam's Club. Restock your heart health support with the Super Beats and expand your routine with Super Barine. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Congressman Hank Johnson coming to give you some more ear candy or perhaps an earache. But I'm going to do my best off of this Jason Isbell tune, Dreamsicle.
Epstein died by suicide. Believe that and you must be blind. You've been telling us you released the file, but where are they? We've gone along with what's been told. You've had plenty of time. Control, but when you say you will withhold the Epstein file.
Kill me now. I don't even know who this dude is. Oh my gosh, isn't it a Maren Morris song?
I think so.
Okay, wait. Of course he listens to Maren Morris. Fake country. Okay. That's Hank Johnson, who's, for whatever reason, his sport coat is so long. It's almost like Evening Tales. I don't understand it. None of us had to hear that. We really didn't. And now this goes on with this thing of Democrats seizing on the Epstein file stuff. Well, it's a Republican. It's a problem that Republicans made for themselves, and now they're trying to anything to avail themselves of it. They're trying to grab onto every read possible. We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards the second hour and the latest economic numbers and that budget bill that passed in the Senate last night. Stick with us. And the folks who helped make the program possible, it is the people over at Kel-Tec, the new generation sub 2K. It folds fast, optics stay in place, and deploys just as quickly, zeroed and ready. It's innovation with a twist, and it's available in a variety of calibers, including now 10 millimeter. It's a foldable carbine. And it's really easy to do. You don't have to detach anything to fold it in half. And you don't have to attach anything once you unfold it put it back and deploy it back ready to go. It accepts Glock mags as well. Standard 15-round Glock 20 mag folds down to 16.5 inches for easy storage and transport. Simple and reliable blowback design. You also have an internal buffer for softer recoil, light and 5-pound trigger pull, integrated M-lock, and rails for accessories. It's good for whatever your needs are, including backpacking, camping, law enforcement, church security, even whatever you need. Kel-Tec makes it right here in the U.S. of A, American Materials. You can find more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
So the Federal Reserve offices in D.C. are getting an extreme Soviet makeover? The Federal Reserve offices are getting a $2.5 billion renovation. For perspective, Jerry Jones built Cowboys Stadium for $1.15 billion.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Yeah. Mr. President, I know you want to move past all this intrigue over the Epstein files, but I do want to ask you to clarify something you said this morning. You said this was all a hoax. Has your attorney general told you this was a hoax? What evidence have you seen?
No, it's not the attorney general. No, I know it's a hoax. It's started by Democrats. It's been run by the Democrats for 4 years. You had Christopher Wray and these characters and Comey before him. And it's a bad group. It started, actually, look at the Steele dossier that turned out to be a total hoax. The 51 agents, the intelligence, so-called intelligence agents, it was a hoax. It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats. And some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net. And so they try and do the Democrats' work. The Democrats are good for nothing other than these hoaxes. They're bad for policy. They're bad for picking candidates that can get elected. Like in New York, we have a communist running. He may get elected too, actually, but he'll destroy the city.
So this is problematic because of the internet. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. I don't know. This is like such an easy goal for the right. I have no idea now why we're weaponizing it, like against the right. Case in point, I mean, this is there's a lot of these stories. This is one such story. The headline, Trump promises to release Epstein client list if he wins the election. Says former president, convicted sex trafficker, was a, quote, good salesman. And this was from September of 2024. He talked about this a lot. There was a lot of this. He talked about it again in June 2024, Fox and Friends. He gave an interview where he said, yes, he would declassify the Epstein files. And he implied that in the existence of the files, there was this client list, which are two different things. He said that he added a caveat, which is weird. He said that there could be potentially phony stuff in there that could affect people's lives. And I don't know what that means. He also did it on a number of podcasts where he said, it's very interesting, isn't it? It's probably all going to be made public anyway, etc. He's talked about this so much. He made multiple campaign promises in the general. He promised on several occasions when he was campaigning to declassify the files, including the alleged client list, right? And he would sometimes say the list or the files or the people in the files, things like that. He used a bunch of different phrases. But because there is a difference between the files and the client list, I think. But he talked about both of them, though. That's the thing. He mentioned this repeatedly. He's been quoted by everything from The Guardian to Fox News to Newsweek, Daily Mail, Telegraph, Newsmax, The First even, tons of different, The Blaze, tons of places quoted him as talking about all of this on the campaign trail. He indicated and alluded repeatedly to there being a cover up. We could sit here. I told you I could sit here and do this, you know, we could do the whole hour on this. And there was even a story. They went after him and tried to make it a negative thing. There was a story in The Guardian where they tried to listen to this. It said how the Trump administration's handling of the Epstein files became a vehicle for QAnon. Now, this is a piece that was done back in a little bit ago. And it said, oh, it's the obsession with these files. They tried to paint him as a conspiracy theorist for even talking about it. So the news was saying, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist for even talking about it. All the people that are going along with this are conspiracy theorists. So every time he mentioned it on the campaign trail, you would have an article that would pop up in the press where they're going at him and acting like he's a conspiracy theorist. So that's why there's so many media mentions of this, because, and we know that he talked about it verbatim on the campaign trail, because every single time he did, you had legacy media out there that was trying to act like it wasn't a big deal and that, oh, these people are just fringe kooks. They're just conspiracy theorists. There were stories about how MAGA is being taken over by conspiracy theorists regarding the Epstein files, and Trump is stoking conspiracy theories with the Epstein files. This is another story that was from a year ago. So this has gone on and on. You all, everybody has had their characters impugned by the legacy press for simply wanting to know, what's up with this Epstein case? What is up with the, is there a clientele list? What's in these files that can be released? And as I said last hour, I reject the weak excuse that the reason they couldn't release the files is because of video of child molestation. That was never going to be released anyway. Give me a break. That's illegal to even put it out there anyway. It's never going to be released. But there's a lot of other stuff that could. I mean, according by, and this isn't just Trump, every other Republican. I mean, we could spend, I'm not kidding you, I could spend the hour going through all of the campaign promises that Republicans made with this. I mean, Kane, you remember hearing it too.
Oh, yeah.
How? I mean, I think every single, the easiest question to ask is which Republican didn't mention it? So I actually ran that question through AI.
And?
None.
Really?
Every single Republican. I don't use AI for reason, because I don't trust it. And I think it's, you know, and then we just saw the Mecca Hitler thing. And I'm like, but I wanted to see. I wanted to see what, if it could, you know, I was very curious. And some of it was, they would mention it and they would say, oh, the Epstein files or the list. They would mention the list in broader context and talking about it. But by and large, they all mentioned it. They all talked about the existence of it. And so I don't know. So if people are stupid for believing in it, are Republicans stupid for believing in it first and using it as a get out the vote tool for people to go and vote? Which came first, chicken or the egg?
I would argue they didn't have to believe it to push it as a political narrative. They didn't have to actually believe it themselves in order to use it.
I mean, story after story after story after story. He was even at a G7, and he was asked about it. And he said, yes, they're certainly going to take a look at it. This goes back, you know, his first term. I mean, this has been for forever. And so we go from all of these interviews, we go from all of these remarks on the campaign trail. And like I said, it's not just him. There's, you know, a ton of Republicans, everybody from Mike Johnson to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ralph Norman, Tim Burchett, Eric Burleson, John Kennedy, Josh Hawley, Andrew Clyde, Andy Biggs, Thomas Massey, Chip Roy. I mean, do you want to go on? Pam Bondi talked about it repeatedly. This is from years ago. Everybody Everybody, every elected Republican has talked about this. And now all of a sudden you're stupid for believing in it? Are you kidding me? This isn't going to work. This is not the way to handle your base. You can't sit here and tell people that these files existed and that this list existed and then turn around and go, oh, well, you guys are stupid for believing this. So they're stupid for believing you? Are they stupid for believing you and other Republicans? Did you dupe people? Again, this goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. No matter how you look at this story, you are being lied to. You're either being lied to in scenario A, where there was never anything there, ever, and it was just a story made up to get you agitated and mad so that you would definitely turn out to vote. And maybe even bring people with you to vote and talk about it all online. And you would be under this belief that we have a two-tier system of justice, which ultimately is what this case is about. The Epstein case is about two-tier system of justice. So either, as I said, scenario A, it was all fake from the get-go, and you were all misled. We were all misled and lied to as a way to agitate for getting out the vote, or scenario B, it's real, and some people have been somehow brought under control to continue with the cover-up for some reason or another. Which is it? But either way, you're being lied to. There's no other option here. And what I don't like is I'm sitting here looking at interview after interview, transcript after transcript, of people with their own mouths talking about this. And now they're going around saying it was a hoax. So were you in on the hoax? At what point did this become a hoax to you? This is what I don't like. Just be straight with people. Just be honest with them about this. Thomas Massie's announced plans to introduce a discharge petition in the U.S. House and the House of Representatives to force a vote on the release of the complete files. A lot of people upset about it. Marjorie Taylor Greene has endorsed it. And I don't get it, because Trump called the Epstein scandal. I can't say this word. He tweeted it, though, Kane. It's BS. Yeah. He said, their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And my past supporters have bought into this bull burp, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, he tweeted this. He put it out on True Social. So he thinks it's a hoax? When did he realize that it was a hoax? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, again, going back to, I got transcripts of him on the campaign trail where he mentioned it and said, we need to get to the bottom of it. I mean, what happened? He promised multiple times to declassify everything, including the alleged client list. This is true. I mean, this is, there's too much online to argue that he didn't. He said it on Fox and Friends. He said it repeatedly. So now he says it's a hoax and that, what was it, past supporters are buying into it? I am really confused, and I get why everybody else is confused. Why is he doing this to himself? Just stop. I mean, he went off on this today. I can't even read some of the stuff he said. He had said, the radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again, just like with the fake and fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from hell in which Dim swore to come from Russia. No, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom, blah, blah, blah. He said their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And he said, my past supporters have bought into this bull burp and they haven't learned their lesson and never will. Okay, first off, this is completely separate from the Russian collusion story. And the Russian collusion story did not include Republicans that were going out saying that it was true, except for Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was the one who called Donald Trump Jr. a traitor and went along with the Russian collusion story in the New York meeting. He absolutely did. And that's one of the reasons that Trump turned on him. And that's fact. So Republicans weren't the ones who were talking about this. this or talking about the Russian collusion stuff, that was Democrats, and that was proven demonstrably false. The Epstein case, he was in jail. He was convicted on existing evidence. Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail for a reason. Jeffrey Epstein went to jail for a reason. It's not a scam if there was evidence to send them to jail. There is a huge, huge amass of files that we've been told by Republicans. Democrats did not tell us this. This was Republicans, including Trump. So how is this now suddenly a hoax? We got a lot more to hit as we move our partners that will bring you the program. It's the folks over at Relief Factor. A lot of people use Relief Factor to help manage daily aches and pains. And it's, you know, not unusual. I mean, gosh, this stuff can start in your 30s, depending on how active you were. If you were in sports, like my husband had knee surgery when he was, you know, a teenager still. And he has a lot of sports injuries. So when he goes to the gym, he's constantly, you know, he deals with those, the ache in his knee and all of that. And Relief Factor is something that he takes to help manage that. And you can, it's designed to manage it naturally, right? So it includes really powerful ingredients like turmeric, omega-3 fatty acids, resveratrol, and more to target inflammation and support your joint health. It is 100% drug-free, and it's developed to support your body's natural healing process. And I'm really intrigued by its anti-inflammatory properties, and this is something you should definitely consider. You don't have to stay stuck living with pain. There's no reason. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day, and you can support a veteran-owned company and see the difference for yourself. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
The Supreme Court sides with parents and common sense about whether they can protect their kids from indoctrination at school. A House Democrat wants to radically overhaul Congress and the courts. Quite a temper tantrum for losing last year. And the numbers don't lie about how much better Florida is than New York over the past 25 years. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The world's, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. This is horrible. The world's oldest marathon runner was mowed down and killed by a car, obviously, at the age of 114. Fauja Singh, a British Indian man, he was the world's oldest marathon runner, was killed at age 114 after he was hit by a car in India. He was crossing a road in a village and an unidentified car mowed him down. He was transported out of the hospital by locals, but he succumbed to his injuries. They're investigating. I mean, how long do you think he would have lived if he hadn't been mowed down by a car? Oh my gosh, imagine you're the person driving the car and you realize you hit a 114-year-old man.
He didn't die of old age or sickness.
No. Can we study him? Please, I hope he donated his body to science or something. Oh my gosh. A man in a kilt broke the glass protecting the Stone of Destiny at a museum. Of course it was. He was promptly arrested. 35-year-old. It was in the Scottish city of Perth. He broke the glass cane protecting an artifact that's been key to UK history for centuries. And they said, the police said, yes, we can confirm there was an incident at Perth Museum on Saturday of July. And they said that there was no damages to any artifacts on display. The object, it's the 336-pound Stone of Destiny, known as the Stone of Scone. And it is one of the most significant objects. It was used in the coronation of Scottish monarchs at Scone. It's a few miles up by the River Tay in Perth. And the boy King Alexander III is the first monarch known to have been inaugurated in a ceremony that used the stone. And then it went on, you know, for that, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he, it wasn't damaged, but he broke the glass. FDA approves blue color additive while encouraging faster phase out. So this is, what is this, gardenia? Genipin? Explain that. You know this. I know you know this.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be an all natural.
Is it from the gardenias?
I don't, honestly, I don't know about that, but I do know that it's a alternative that's much more healthier because it's derived from nature.
Why do we need blue?
From a laboratory.
Why?
Because people buy blue things.
Like food, it's food.
Yeah, cakes.
Okay, that, yeah, maybe no.
No?
No, like put a candle on it that's blue. Just do that. Artificial light after dark rewires the brain. I believe this, but I don't like all of the little light modifiers on everything because it hurts your eyes. So it's like a give and take. But apparently, yeah, it's a disrupted circadian rhythm. So you need to limit your screen use, all of it, at night. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store as we do so. Our partners over at Angel Studios. You can become a guild member, and we always complain about it. Everything's horrible in Hollywood. They just, oh my gosh, it's just the stuff that they put out. It's just rehashed, redone things of old ideas like over and over and over again. Not only that, but it seems like so much stuff has a problem with America and American exceptionalism. That's not where you're getting at Angel Studios. They have so many titles out. You're probably not even aware of all the titles that they've released. But when you become a premium member of the Angel Studios Guild, you get free tickets to every theatrical release that they have. You also get commercial-free streaming, all kinds of stuff. And but you're also helping to greenlight what they're producing, the stuff that they're putting out. And their projects are unapologetically American. They're not condescendingly so. It's not like they come out with a film and they're like, the point of this film is to be conservative. They just write, they have great scripts and they tell great stories that just also happen to celebrate American exceptionalism in a number of different ways. They have animated features for families, for kids. They have dramas, all kinds of stuff. And you can support this. You can join over a million Americans over at angel.com/Dana and take back control of entertainment. Join the Angel Guild and help fund the future of storytelling that reflects your values. And premium members, they get free theater tickets, ad-free streaming, and more. Become a premium member today. It's angel.com/Dana.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's #529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. I was surprised, frankly, that Biden put him in and extended him, but they did. So, no, we're not planning on doing anything. We're very concerned.
So that's POTUS from just a little bit earlier, the meeting that he had with the press availability that he had with the leader of Bahrain. We've got to have a little bit of clarification here. So in order to get onto the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, he was appointed by Barack Obama in 2012 to serve on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. So he was appointed by Obama in 2012. And I thought that was a long time that he was on that. I mean, that's, you know, from then until now, he's been involved with the Fed for a long time. In 2017, Trump nominated Powell to replace Janet Yellen. And this is after he won in 2016. 2017, Trump nominated Jerome Powell to replace Janet Yellen as the Federal Reserve Chairman, right? So, and he was confirmed by the Senate, and he assumed the role in beginning of February in 2018. And then he selected him for the chairmanship, but he didn't initially appoint him to the Federal Reserve System itself. That was Barack Obama. But he appointed him, he selected him from the Board of Governors to become Fed chair. And then Powell was confirmed by the Senate to be Fed chair. And he assumed the chairmanship in February of 2018. So, little bit of clarity on that. Now, I was talking to Kane about this on break. I'm like, one thing, and sidebar before I dive into it. The idea that you can't criticize a politician because that means that you forfeit any and all like of them is the stupidest, most illiberal thing I've ever heard. That is hive mind thinking from the left. And I think the left, honestly, I think it's a psyop to get people from the right to kind of twist and turn on each other. I think there are a lot of questionable people that are active on the right that one day history is going to show that they were not on the right. I'm just going to say that. But I think it's a big psychological mind job. You can criticize a politician and you can still support the politician. I can't believe I have to say this, but there's some that drive by that I have to say this for those people, the read with pictures crowd. He does not help himself with this. When you make a mistake, you take accountability. Now, one of the things Ken and I were talking about on break is that when it comes to Fauci and when it comes to Jerome Powell, one of the things Trump had said, he went in with the mission of draining the swamp, but then he was like, well, I thought they were telling the truth. So I kept them there. And then now we see what happened. So I need to be a little bit more hardcore about draining the swamp. But one thing that people don't want to see is a lack of accountability. That will test the patience and the fidelity of the most devout voter. And I think that POTUS needs to be super, super careful here. I have a couple of headlines because I see some of the maneuvering by some surrogates on the right. And they're going out there saying this is just a giant, you know, Democrat setup. This is Democrats that are laying out the found. They laid this narrative. They're doing all of this. But it's not, though. And I get that that makes it easier to herd people into behaving. Oh, well, if you tell them that, oh, well, this is a Democrat hoax, then they're going to stop supporting it, right? But people know better because there have been too many people that have gone to his rallies and have heard him talk about this stuff. I mean, I gave you just a couple of segments ago a number. That's just the top of the tip of the glacier. A number of headlines where he's talked about it. His transcripts of speeches and interviews where he has said, yes, it's weird. You know, they need to release this stuff, etc. People want accountability. And when you tell them that something is a hoax after you promoted it as being true and used it as a reason to vote for you, people want a return on the investment of their vote. And you can't just turn around and tell them now that, oh, well, it's a hoax. Sorry you believed it. Because that means you're part of the hoax. Think about this. For this to be a Democrat hoax, which I don't think it is, I don't like Democrats. I am on record as to disliking them more than most people and for a longer period of time. Yes, it was the hoax, the Russian collusion thing and the laptop and all that stuff, the false narratives they put out there. But those things do not mean that this thing is the same thing. Because Democrats weren't the ones that were pushing the Epstein stuff. That was Republicans. And Republicans pushed it because it looked like it compromised Democrats more. You had Democrat politicians that were cozying up to Jeffrey Epstein, flying on his plane. Democrat donors flying on his plane, going to his island. You know, he had a portrait of Bill Clinton in his house, for crying out loud. So it wasn't the only association that he had with Trump is that he would go to some of the same events Trump was at. They would have a society photographer that would take a picture, and then Trump banned him from Mar-a-Lago because he thought he was a creep. That's it. So I don't know why this is a hoax, because the number one reason that Republicans started talking about this is because it indicted Democrats hand over fist. And now it's a hoax. So you're telling me that when the administration arranged for that cheesy photo op in front of the White House with the binders full of information we already knew that they were pretending was unreleased information, that was all a hoax. So that means you can't say that it was a hoax, because then it means you're in on it. Do you see what I'm saying? It means you helped orchestrate it. Do you think that POTUS would have allowed these you know, wannabe influencers or whatever to be in front of the White House with these binders full of, you know, nothing burgers, pretending that it was unreleased Epstein information. Do you think that he would have allowed that? Do you think that had he, if he wasn't told, don't you think they had to run that by him? Yes. So that means he was in on it if it's a hoax. So I don't know why he's taking this path. I don't get it. Now, if there's nothing there, then release absolutely everything. Put up a, like they did with the USAID stuff. Put up a website that has everything there. Or the Hunter laptop stuff. You guys saw that. You see how easy, you know how much was in the Hunter laptop stuff. Videos and photos, to say nothing of the texts and the emails. And that was all searchable by year, month, and subject and everything. They did it with the USAID stuff too. They had it up there by category, how much, everything. Just release everything that is legal to release, meaning the excuses that I'm hearing from people about videos of molestation. Obviously, you can't put that up online because that's illegal. But the stuff that you can do, make it searchable so that there's full transparency. That's all people want, is accountability. And no, even if there's an ongoing investigation, let's just say that there was an ongoing investigation that no one knows about just yet, and that they're still looking at something and they don't want to compromise anything. Maybe all the people in power should have thought about that before they used it repeatedly as fuel for the fire to get people to vote. This is the downside of this stuff. If you're going to use it, then you got to use it, right? If you're going to use it, then if you're going to talk about it, then you have to do it. You can't just, you know, pull it away. It doesn't work that way. It's like Chekhov's gun, right? The principle that if you introduce this element in a story, then it has to serve a purpose. So like, you know, if you a film starts and there's a gun hanging on the wall and the camera pans to it, and for a second it's, you know, that's the shot. That's on screen. It's the rule of Chekhov's gun. That means it figures into the story later on, and you must return to it. So this is the Chekhov's gun rule. You talked about it enough. Now you got to return to it. So that's, I think it is so dangerous at this point before midterms for POTUS to say that it's a hoax or to say these things. Because here's the problem. Mike Johnson is out there saying it's real. Larry Trump is out there saying that there's Epstein files and they're going to release more. So there's not even, they're not even centralized on messaging on this right now. You can see why people are confused and upset over it. They are all over the place. POTUS is on one spot. Johnson and Larry Trump are on another spot. Other Republicans are on another spot. There is no cohesion. That is when that's danger, danger. They have to be cohesive on this. So I don't, whatever it was, if there is some shenanigans with the different intel agencies, then make it all public. Because right now, what the Republican Party is doing, right now what the administration is doing, is they're running the risk of ticking off some of their supporters, longtime supporters. And I'm going to tell you something. A politician doesn't get to determine the fidelity of the supporter. That's not where the power lies. The voter gets to determine the measure of the politician's fidelity to them. Let's not get this twisted. So when you promise voters something, you better damn well deliver. And I think people, the longer this goes, the worse it's going to get. And this could turn into a real major problem for Republicans, and it doesn't have to. That's what's frustrating me so bad. It does not have to. If there is something that is preventing it, or if they uncovered nothing, they need to just come out and go, okay, here's the deal. People are going to forgive someone going, you know what, I messed up and I was wrong on this. Of course, Democrats are always going to go crazy. Of course, the press is always going to go crazy. When don't they? They don't matter. They're not going to vote for Republicans anyway. So ignore that. The base that matters, the people that turn out to vote, and the people that have genuine goodwill, they're going to go, you know what? That's right. And people do make mistakes. And we get how easy it is, because look at how much smoke and mirrors the Intel community put up over the laptop and all this other stuff. That is the track that POTUS should be taking right now. Not this. Don't attack your voters. Never attack your voters. That's the golden rule of politics. Politicians never attack the voter. Ever. It's like the customer is always right. The voter is always right. You can't just go, well, it's a hoax, and you're stupid if you believe it. My past supporters. Oh, my gosh. Please don't. Please do not. We're getting ready to kick off midterms. Oh, my gosh. Let's not do that. Is there anything that I left out, Kane? Is there any disagreement? It's making me nervous. I don't want to lose a house,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no. I get it. I think your take is, you know, because you're seeing both sides of it, right? You see the people that have been told this and have been lied to the whole time. And you're seeing how Trump is handling it from this point of view. So everyone's handled it differently. The left was all about dismissing it back when we first remember that. And now they're all about it.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of coin flipping on this. And again, we're going to see what comes out in the wash.
And remember, one of the reasons that Democrats, one of the reasons that Republicans talked about it so much and Democrats ignored it. You got to remember, when this first came up, who was challenging Trump? Who challenged Trump in 2016 for the presidency? Hillary Clinton. Who is the biggest politician that's implicated in this Epstein stuff? Bill Clinton. But now she's not running for anything again. So that's not an issue, right? So now they have the safety of irrelevancy by saying, oh, yeah, go ahead and release it now. Now they're sowing their oats. Oh, yeah, go ahead and release it now. Because there's not anyone that is currently running that is going to be maligned as hard as Bill Clinton was going to be. So, I mean, even Democrats kind of like, yeah, Bill Clinton, yeah. Good grief, Carville even acknowledges it. So that's how this all came up in the first place. We got more in store. Is TSA going to roll back liquid restrictions on flights? I'm just saying, if Kristi Noem makes this happen, I don't care how she dresses up. She can wear stilettos at the border for all I care. I don't care. I legit don't care. She can wear a cat suit and, you know, wear extensions and do the whole night. I don't care. Girl can do whatever she wants to. If this changes, you know how Fetterman gets the hoodie pass?
Yeah.
Well, she can have a pass too. I'm just saying, I'll never care. We'll talk more about this coming up. We got Florida Man. Yeah, Florida Man on the way. The folks who help bring you the program and help make it possible. It's our friends over at Byrna Gun. Now, I always believe in carrying, and I have no issue at all whatsoever with using lethal force to protect myself or my loved ones. But I also understand that there are different needs that arise due to municipal restrictions or private property restrictions. And think of it, if you're a college student and you're not old enough yet to carry a handgun, but you live alone and you don't want to be left, you know, to the fates. Well, this is where Byrna Gun comes in. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Easy target acquisition and no recoil. And when you compare it to the average, you know, the capability of like a stun gun, etc., that's like one or two rounds. This is five rounds. And there's two different versions. They have rifles and all of that. But I think for this, you need to check out the SD or the CL. The CL is the new one. It's actually smaller than the SD. And means it's more concealable. And it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks required. There's no permits required. There's no waiting periods. It can be shipped right to your front door. So it's accessible for absolutely everyone. And it does not care about gun-free zone signs. So I would visit Byrna.com/Dana. Check out the SD model. That's their best-selling defensive pistol. Or the CL, which is smaller. I think it's like 38% smaller than the SD. And you can also look at the projectiles and accessories and so much more. That's Byrna.com/Dana, the CL or the SD, Byrna.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion won. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Don't do this ever. WSFA Channel 12. Florida Man uses finger guns to steal Waffle House napkins. Wait, what? Finger guns. Madison County, Florida. A Waffle House employee called 911 to report an attempted robbery. The suspect was unarmed and left simply after grabbing some napkins. Edward Rodriguez was identified as the assailant. He entered the Waffle House wearing a gray hoodie. He had a little dog. And then he shouted, "Get on the ground, y'all getting robbed." And then he stated later he was high and drunk, grabbed napkins, and walked out. He got into a vehicle and left the parking lot. He did not appear to have a weapon, but he did raise his hands in the shape of a finger gun. Yeah, you can't go and throw hands, finger guns or otherwise, at a Waffle House. I'm surprised that the employees didn't like go into, octagon mode and leap out from behind the counter and beat him down in the store. But also, I mean, would you not know that that was kind of a stupid joke? What would you do? Somebody walked in and was like, y'all getting robbed, and had finger guns.
I think there's a couple factors here we need to know. How drunk was this person? How late was it? I don't know, but I don't know. I don't think I'd put up with any of that.
Would you call 911?
I don't think I'd call 911.
Yeah, I would just have my shotgun like, well,
for napkins?
Yeah, for napkins. I don't know. Let's see here. We also have a Florida man was arrested. He was trying to poison his ex's liquor bottle with bleach.
Oh.
Why?
You can tell
that stuff. I mean, even unless you're drinking, what am I thinking of? Everclear.
Oh gosh.
Then maybe
you could run vehicles off of that stuff.
You can run the planet off of a bottle of Everclear. What are you talking about? I feel like Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they're like, what's the fanciest like liquor that you can think of? And they're like, oh, Goldschlager. Yeah, because
it's got gold in it.
Yeah, it's got flakes of gold in it. And then that's when they did the nickel schlager. And okay, anyway. Deltona Beach, attempted poisoning attempt. Investigators say the victim went to her ex-boyfriend's home to get her stuff. Her friend went with her. She, and I don't know why, but the two decided to take a shot from a bottle of Tito's to calm their nerves. And apparently the uncle that went with the girl realized that something was really wrong and that the drink was tainted with bleach, and they called the police and he admitted it. And he said he also put it in her facial products.
Oh,
well, that's just an astringent at that point, you dummy. Anyway, good night. We've got more in store. Third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. Taking charge of your health is easier with All Family Pharmacy. If you've been hearing about the latest in brain and cellular health, you're not alone. Methylene Blue is making waves for supporting focus, mental clarity, memory, and mood. RFK Jr. has been talking about using it. And NAD Plus, that's your body's natural energy booster. It helps cells repair and potentially slows signs of aging. With All Family Pharmacy, you now have access to these cutting-edge treatments. Whether you're interested in Methylene Blue, NAD Plus, or even an emergency kit for your family, this is a pharmacy that you can trust. No corporate gatekeepers, no big pharma middlemen, and no bureaucratic roadblocks. All Family Pharmacy uses 100% domestically sourced materials for all their medications, ensuring top quality and safety. So go ahead and visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off your order. And while you're there, check out their full list, over 200.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
Going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Medications available, including ivermectin, antibiotics, and more. That's all familypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana10.
But I think that the place where we're seeing the most traction is senators who represent communities where there are large rural communities, large tribal communities, in particular in places like Alaska, where there just isn't a lot of other options. Broadband service is not universal, and heck, even cell phone service is not universal. There's a real understanding of the need there, as well as for emergency alerting, in which public media plays an extraordinarily important role.
Okay, this is stupid. This is the NPR CEO, Catherine Maher, who's saying that, you know, rural Americans, those dumb hicks out there, they don't have no way to get their news, Kane. They have no source of news. They have no connection to the outside world. NPR and PBS are the only way they learn anything. That's what she's saying about rural America, flyover, rural Americans. They just don't know nothing. If it wasn't for NPR and PBS, they just wouldn't know nothing. That's what she's alleging. Okay, that's so not true. So not true, number one. Number two, even if it was, wouldn't they be blue? If that was the only way they could get their news, wouldn't those rural counties have gone blue?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I mean, you have local affiliates. I know my family in the Ozarks, they get their news from Cape Girardeau. They have their, what is it, Heartland News.
Right.
Heartland News. I used to go to sleep at my grandparents' house listening to the outro to Heartland News. And they would talk about the Heartland issues, right? Does she not realize that this is something that exists? It doesn't even, and by the way, they have cell phone coverage out there.
Yeah.
Has she ever been to rural America? You know what else rural America has? You guys are going to flip over this. They have electricity and supermarkets. Just saying. Just saying. I have a lot of family that lives all over southern Missouri. And one of my favorite things is I had a great aunt that worked in a Quick Mart. And she had two cell phones because she did scrapbooking stuff on the side. You know somebody's a serious scrapbooker when they had like a separate little phone to sell their scrapbooking stuff. Like she would go to like little craft. What am I thinking of? Like little the little craft fairs and sell scrap. She like would make scrapbooking things like little stuff to put in. So just case in point for the dudes who don't understand this. You know how you're like Warhammer accessories? Like when you're doing tabletop or if you're doing D&D tabletop and you have all the little accoutrements for that. Okay, that's like the male version of scrapbooking in a way.
Oh.
So now the guys are like, oh, I totally get it now. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So she would like make all this stuff because that's I never, ever underestimate the scrapbooking population because they have like blades and stuff. They have like X-Acto knives. It's wild. And anyway, she had like a whole other phone that she would use. And she'd sit there, you know, at the gas station Quick Mart and she would, you know, be doing her job. And then she would like field some calls for scrapbooking merchandise because if somebody's baby was a graduating high school, you know, you got to have that material for the scrapbook for it. Very important, Kane. And they did crazy things like go to movies and go to the store. I mean, what does Catherine Maher think? It's not Mars. It's so stupid. They have coffee shops too, Catherine. Did you know?
What?
Oh my gosh. What? Jiminy Christmas. That is some real coastal elitism on display there. Has she, by the way, has she also never heard of AM radio? Right? That's wild. And by the way, even if it was true, let me ask this question. Even if it was true in that all of the only way that rural America gets their news or anything is from NPR or PBS, then why is all of NPR and PBS's content seemingly geared towards like upscale urbanites?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All of it is. That doesn't make any sense.
I know people that would listen to NPR to fall asleep because it is so, you know what I mean? It's so slow and deliberate in their delivery of news and information.
Because, Kane, that is the upscale urbanite way. Welcome to Upscale Urbanite Radio. I'm your hostess, the slowest to ever do it.
Oh my God, I just woke up. What happened?
What? I don't know. What? We were all in a dream. I don't even know. What's happening? What? All right, so, yeah, that's... And she's complaining because of the cuts to NPR and PBS. J.D. Vance broke the tie in the Senate last night, so they're going to reconcile that with the House. It looks like it's going to go through. And I think the House... I think they're going to have everyone in the House on board. Even though they have a narrower margin... They had a super narrow margin in the Senate. So I think that's part of that $9.4 billion rescissions package. So it looks like that will go through. But her argument just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it makes even less sense because you do have, and I hate saying it, but you do have like Soros entities. They had this funding apparatus where they were trying to fund local newsrooms, where like affiliates even, they were trying to, which I thought was a way of worming in and trying to control content to fund local newsrooms for programming. But none of what she says is accurate. And I feel like these people, these coastal elites, they say this stuff and they have no idea really how rural America lives and what they do and what they watch and what they listen to. They just think that they probably literally live in a hut on the prairie. I think that's probably accurate. And she, the NPR lady, she was, she told CBS, she said that this is going to be devastating for local news stations. It's going to create news deserts. Oh my gosh. Again, no, it's not. That's not even, the local affiliates are not relying even on PBS and NPR. So no. And maybe you guys should have thought about that before you started acting as Pravda. So speaking of that bill, the rescissions package that went through the Senate last night, one of the things that came out today, pull this up, is the slowing of inflation, essentially. So this is one, we're going to be talking to Charles Payne about this tomorrow, because the latest inflation report showed a pull that, yes, people are spending less on travel. But and they're saying, though, there's an increase in the cost of goods. The increase in the cost of goods, as I understand it, isn't related, though, to tariffs. And speaking of tariffs, one of the things, and Kane and I were talking about this on break, going back and forth on some of this stuff, is that when you look at PPI, and that's the producer price index, does that include or exclude import price? And Rick Santelli was talking about this whole issue, and I liked what he had to say here. I thought it was insightful. Listen to this. We have this cut.
For the month of June, PPI comes in unchanged. Unchanged, we're expecting up 0.2. Unchanged would be the smallest inflationary wholesale increase in it since it was minus 0.1 in March of this year. Strip out food and energy, it remains zero. Unchanged, zero. And that would, once again, that would comp towards April when we were minus 0.2, which, by the way, was lowest inflation rate going all the way back to April of 2020.
You know, it's amazing whenever I look at Rick Santelli, that guy, the reason that Trump is in office actually is because of Rick Santelli.
Think so?
Yeah, because Rick Santelli literally kicked off inadvertently, unknowingly, but he kicked off the Tea Party when he had that famous rant on live television about, you know, pay for your own stuff and, you know, taxed enough. And that was like the calling card that we used kicking. I mean, we all saw it. We're like, did you see Rick? I mean, everybody was talking about it. And his different quotes from his rant were used as like Tea Party protest slogans. And you wouldn't have Donald Trump without the Tea Party. It is, he's always been so incredibly consistent and so incredibly accurate. So whenever Rick Santelli explains something, there's some economists out there that I think are too tainted by partisanship and they make it really political, where the rest of us, we just want to know the bare facts of it, because we know enough to operate in it, but we need insight from these experts. And I always feel like he has been incredibly fair, incredibly clear-sighted. And I just think that makes his analysis very insightful. I think Charles Payne is very similar to that, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow. But I mean, this is all incredibly important. So it fell to 2.3%. That's right where it is, right? PPI fell to 2.3%. So it decreased year over year, falling below 2.5%. And so what that is indicating is a cooler in producer level inflation. So there's no monthly price increase that's recorded. And then you have the core PPI, and that's what Rick Santelli was just explaining, that it is excluding the energy prices and the food prices. And that came in lower than expected at 2.6 against what they were forecasting, 2.7, I think. And so that came in lower. And so now people are talking about, well, does this mean the Fed is going to, this is the prime time to have a rate reduction, right? To have a more relaxed monetary policy, to have a rate reduction. And that's the big question with all of this. And Charles, I know, is going to talk a lot about this later, but they're saying that for the month of June, the inflation did not grow. So that's significant. Sorry, were you
The two big numbers, the PPI, obviously the producers price index, is different from the CPI, which is the consumer price index.
And
So the CPI number, obviously, it also is either lower or unchanged as well, which means, so these producers, they have costs for material in order to produce what they produce. If their number is unchanged in regards to their output, that must mean that their input, they're either absorbing or they're also not getting a change there either. So that means the tariffs have had zero effect, as though the media explained to us early on that it was going to ruin the economy. It hasn't done anything close to that.
Didn't every single forecaster say that it was going to be higher than what it came in at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every one of them. Yeah. So that, does that mean that Powell, so the way to look at it, the narrative is that Jerome Powell is either being too cautious or he's being political, or is it both? Yeah, we're going to talk to Charles Payne about this coming up tomorrow. Also on deck here after headlines, is the TSA going to eliminate the restrictions on liquids, the bane of travelers' existence? There is another big announcement on the way, according to, it's hinted by DHS Secretary Noem. So we're going to talk about that. And then also, did you guys see what Gavin Newsom did? Because he's trying to defend, obviously, he's trying to defend and showcase and brag about California, except his office tweeted out all these photos where they were saying that California is gorgeous, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't use pictures of California. I can't make this up. So we got to talk about this and more as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. But here's the thing. So you can save money a number of different ways. They have plans that are tailored to whatever it is that you need. Businesses of all sizes, families of all sizes, singles, dinks. I learned from John Taffer that's dual income, no kids. They have something for everybody. And the several big points. First off, you have great nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks. So you stay connected wherever it is that you go. So that's number one. Number two, your money is not working against you. So they don't spend the hard-earned dollars that you earn to pay for your service on things like gun control or DEI or, you know, all that other nonsense that you vote against at the ballot box. But you also get a free month of service with promo code Dana. It is so easy to switch. I've been on this for over 10 years. My whole family is on it. I have never had an issue with Patriot Mobile, whether anywhere in the country that I've traveled, anywhere internationally that I've traveled. It is great service. And they have a U.S.-based customer service team that can get you set up in minutes. I'm not kidding. Like in minutes. They had my mom all switched up and set up in minutes. And if she can do it, I know you can. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get that free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today and defend freedom every time you make a call, every time you text, because you're literally doing that. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana for that free month of service.
Ben Carson joins Pastor Alan Jackson on Culture and Christianity, Protecting Faith and Family.
There were some failures in our culture from expressions of racism. I mean, mm-hmm. those widely documented.
But there's abundant evidence that as glaring as some of those weaknesses were, they didn't prevent opportunities. I'm concerned for the younger people today. I think they face challenges that could be even more debilitating.
Hear the full story on Culture and Christianity with Pastor Alan Jackson. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a couple of things here. First and foremost, a drunken man with a knife forgot how to spell his name. Yeah, this, according to North Central Pennsylvania, Loyal Sock Township. Very interesting name. A woman called police. She opened her front door, and a dude was holding a knife. First off, why would you open your door? I mean, always, you know, like you're just 35-year-old. I cannot say his first name because there's lots of consonants. Zimmerman of Williamsport was holding a knife in front of the home. The police arrived. They gave him several commands. He finally dropped it. But he kept ignoring the commands afterwards, and they had to tase him. And then he couldn't remember his name. He smelled like a liquor bottle, slurred his speech, and he could not even spell his own name. Like, out loud verbally. Couldn't spell his own name. So he is arraigned on August 11th. So he's, that's really drunk. You know you're drunk when it's, Yeah, let's see. A Royal Navy sailor was arrested over a bomb hoax on a nuclear submarine that sent a naval base into lockdown. Yeah, you can't do that. He was sent Britain's Trident nuclear submarine base into lockdown because he staged a bomb hoax prank and was arrested. Petty officer. It was on the HMS Vanguard, triggered a major emergency response. And they called the bomb squad in, and they're like, we don't know if he just lost the plot, but he, it went horribly, horribly wrong, and he is in a lot of trouble now. Wow. You just don't do that. A Christian coffee shop owner who's helping the homeless is now facing protests in Colorado because it's Colorado. Yep. That's why, yeah. Jamie Sanchez, his coffee shop, it's called the Drip Cafe in Denver. And he runs a homeless ministry as well called Recycle God's Love. And they realized that a lot of people were struggling, etc., and they wanted to help out. And that has enraged the community because the community's bougie and they don't want to have like homeless people around everywhere. And that's ultimately why they're mad. And they don't like the fact that the people said they accused the cafe of being anti-gay, even though they've never said anything. He goes to church, and so they're just assuming because the guy goes to church. They don't like the amount of homeless people there, and they also don't like the fact that the guy's a Christian. And so they are attacking him for like no reason at all whatsoever. And they've been trying to protest him and scaring some of the homeless people away who have been receiving free clothes and food. It's like some of these gay activists, honestly, like, not everything is an invitation for you to make an ass of yourself and attention whore. Not every single thing is that. Like, maybe they could pitch in and help out. That would go a lot longer of a way than going out there and attacking the guy. They're just mad because he's a Christian. They're openly hostile to Christians in Denver. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion won. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. So TSA, you may, it's being hinted, the next big rollback might be liquid restrictions on flights. Department of Homeland Security suggested Wednesday that they're pushing for the TSA to ease up on its liquids, aerosols, and gels rule now that the airport security has ditched the shoes-off policy. Hallelujah, by the way. And I think it's smart if Noam is going after all this stuff. I mean, she should. Like I said, I'll give her a pass on however she wants to look at any event or whatever she wants to do, whatever, you know, aesthetics she wants to tweak. I don't care. I'll give her a pass for everything. You make this a thing that happens, girl, I don't care if you wear a fur to the border, as long as it's ethically sourced. I don't care. So, because right now you can only have 3.4 ounces of liquid with you. And this is what I don't, you know how stupid this all is? First off, when you're going through airport security, and this is all because of after 9/11 and you had the shoe bomber, and I guess, what was it? Somebody else that tried to set off some kind of bomb with a liquid. So they banned like regular size liquids and you had to have 3.4 ounces, which as everybody knows is teeny tiny. And it is so infuriating because you can't hardly get like the stuff that you use doesn't always come in travel size. And then you have to put it in these stupid little travel bottles and it's a pain in the backside. It's like a science experiment gone wrong in the bathroom. It's horrible to try to make it all happen. So I always thought it was weird that, you know, you would have to ditch all your liquids or water bottles or anything. Everybody throws everything in one trash can right there when you're going through security. And it's like, well, if that's suspect and you have to get rid of it because of potential explosiveness, you're all putting it in one trash can at your choke point. Now, if I'm playing a strategy game, you know, like, you know, with the family the other day, we're playing Earth Defense Force, right? You know, you want to get a choke point and then you set off an explosive, you know, at a choke point, you know, you get everybody going through there. You take out the enemy. I'm just saying that's, you know, it seems bad. I always get nervous when I'm always nervous going through TSA because of that reason. It's a choke point. I am never most heightened in terms of awareness as when I'm going through TSA, because if I was a baddie and I wanted to do something, it would be at that choke point. It's right at the entrance, right in front. And that's, everybody's in a line. Everybody's waiting there. It's just like, it's the most mind-boggling, insane thing I've ever seen. Anyway. And then the 3.4 ounces. My gosh, that's not enough for anything. What if you hate checking your bags like me? Because Murphy's Law in terms of lost bag would always happen to me. So I don't check a bag. I can get everything I need in a week unless I absolutely have to. And if it's work related, if I'm like on a work trip and it's like a week long thing, maybe. But I don't know what I'm speaking to this cruise that we're going. I've the MRC thing. I have no idea what I'm going to do then because that's international. I got to have three. Oh, and that's the other thing. If you're flying international, doesn't mean that they're all going to reduce their restrictions. That's just if you're flying domestically. So I don't know, but still, they give a few exceptions for a medication and infant formula and that. But if you want to fly with higher volume liquids, you have to put it in your checked bags and then pray it doesn't get lost or wrecked. Because I've had airlines crush my suitcase before. I've had one busted suitcase where it was just, I don't even know what happened. It looks like a velociraptor got a hold of it. And then I had one where they put it up and you get it on the jet bridge. And I mean, it literally crushed my suitcase. My wheels were busted. I had to like pick it up and carry it through. And that's when I got one of those super strong suitcases. And then they're just like, well, we'll give you $50. Hope nothing in it was broken, you know? So I don't know. I would hope because I hate having to carry everything in like my one personal item bag. And that's what I have to do. So I don't know. But the shoe thing is good. But taking out the liquids and all that stuff. I mean, aren't they also getting to, the way that I understand it, they have like new scanners. So some airports have new scanners. And this is, and I also wish that TSA at these security checkpoints would let people know in advance with a sign whether or not the x-ray machine or the machines that you're putting your stuff through, if you have to take that stuff out or not. Because I have flown where some of the newer machines, you don't have to take your liquids out. You can keep it in your bag and they just notice it. But then if you take it out, I mean, I've had agents like scream at me for taking it out of my bag. And I'm like, there's literally no one to, this is, has always been the rule. When was it not the rule? You know, it's like, please be kind to your travelers when you're going through, because not everybody knows that you've switched up machines and that they don't have to take this out, or they do have to take it out. I've literally flown through the same terminal and went through one time and they were like, don't take your stuff out. And then the next time I went through that exact same terminal, I got a different machine. I was in a different line. And then they're like, take your stuff out. Why is your stuff not out of your bag? It's like, because I didn't, what? That you, they need notices for this. That being said, I really hope that they do this. To fly domestically and be able to carry, like, you know, a regular, not that I have giant, you know, super value size bottles of shampoo, but just being able to take like regular stuff, that would be nice. Sunblock is super important, like when you're trapped for a vacation, because it's so upmarked everywhere else. That's a big thing. That would be nice. It'd be nice. A couple of other things. This is not so nice. Did you guys hear this story about the Annabelle doll? A paranormal investigator unexpectedly dies on the Annabelle haunted doll tour. Bum, bum, bum. Paranormal investigator Dan Rivera apparently died during his statewide tour that spotlighted the haunted doll Annabelle. I mean, that's a great promo, just saying. According to TMZ, he was continuing his Devils on the Run tour in Gettysburg. And he's taking the Annabelle doll with him, as I understand it. Is that how it is? Yeah. So it's like basic, how would you describe this doll? It's like possessed doll. They made movies about this thing. Yeah. And it's like this possessed doll and they keep it under lock and key. And it's the doll that they made the movie after. Mm-hmm. And They're going to continue the tour. But the doll, apparently, it's a Raggedy Ann doll. And it was apparently reportedly possessed. And a woman got this in 1970 as a gift. And then they began experiencing strange stuff. And the doll would move on its own and left handwritten notes. And then they had a medium that's, you know, those famous Warren people, the Warrens or whatever. They came out and they're like, oh, that's a devil doll. So they kept it in their little museum under lock and key. And so I just think it's creepy anyway. It looks creepy anyway, but he was bringing this doll across the country as part of the tour. And now he's passed to the other side. New England Society for Psychic Research. They're the group behind it. They announced it there. Did he like have health problems?
They're not indicating as to what the cause of death is.
Is he really dead?
I would assume so.
They have this doll in a box and it says warning, positively do not open. And they have a weird red light. I don't know why the red light's there. I mean, it looks like a friendly enough little Raggedy Ann doll, but no. But they said that the coroner is doing an investigation, and firefighters and medical personnel, they were called to a hotel in Gettysburg Sunday night, and they were doing, there was CPR in progress on a man who was the same age as this guy. And that's pretty much all everybody knows. And that came from the Adams County Dispatch scanner archives.
Yeah. It looks here that the state police wrote in a release that, quote, nothing unusual or suspicious was observed at the scene. And the Adams County Coroner's Office also said that Rivera's death was not suspicious, adding that the results of a routine autopsy could take 30 to 60 days.
The Gettysburg portion of the tour, hosted by Ghostly Images of Gettysburg Tours, sold out totally. They had over 1,200 tickets sold out in 3 days. And the tour's going on, apparently. Now they're getting a ton. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to kick the bucket on a tour that you organize, that's a great way to, you know, promote it. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be, like, morbid or anything. Okay, so the obvious question. Was it related to the doll? We don't know, but now it's part of the legend.
Will they tell us if the coroner finds out it, they can't really pinpoint an answer?
I mean, are they going to say natural causes? Or are they going to be like, it looks like there were little cloth hand marks on his neck
from
this devil doll?
What natural causes happen to somebody in their
face? I would not want to go see it because it's weird. And like, none of that stuff really phases me. But my grandmother, you know, the one who came up with the rule in threes, death rule in threes, was super suspicious and totally believed in all this stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, yeah.
I mean, it could be the doll. Could be.
It could be. It. You're right. It could be. Also weird. I don't know if you guys saw what Gavin Newsom just got bopped for doing. So he was, I guess, trying to dunk on when POTUS said Democrat states were blank holes, poo holes, basically, right? Okay. And the Governor Newsom press office tweeted out four photos. One photo was like, that was the curvy street in San Francisco. And then there's another like street, you know, main street kind of thing. And then a little park and then a big old bridge, right? And he made a mistake, couple mistakes, actually. So the park, the photo that you're looking at that Juan is showing you on the simulcast, it's in the lower left and your lower left. And it's the water with the rocks. So that's Sand Park in Nevada. So make California Nevada. Brendan Carr even noticed it and said, oops, Gavin Newsom, you posted a picture here from the Republican-run state of Nevada. Sand Harbor, Nevada. Is that, don't they have a Democrat governor? Sand Harbor, Nevada is a great state park, though. But there's more. The two of the pictures are 8 years old, and the other is 11 years old. So two of the pictures, and you can kind of tell from the cars in one of the pictures just how old it is. And yeah, it's like, I mean, I guess he can't show a current photo of like the wildfire destruction or the drug dealers and the needles and feces. I mean, showing a big giant homeless turd on the sidewalk is probably more accurate. So the other photos are 11 years old and 8 years old. There's literally nothing that he has shown in the past 5 years here. And then the one from Nevada. Wow. Yeah, why would you have like, and you can tell it's an old photo because look at the cars in that picture. It's old. Those are old cars. It was one of the first things I noticed. I was like, those are old cars. They're older cars. So that was really bad. That was really bad on his part. But here's the other thing. I forgot about this. Did you guys know that the next Olympics are going to be in LA? They're going to be in Los Angeles. How? How is that going to happen? I mean, are they capable of doing this? Are they going to be able to actually keep everybody safe? The 2028 Summer Olympics. Now, just think about this for a moment. This is the summer of a presidential election right before fall, right? So it's going to kick off mid-July and go all the way to the end of the month in Los Angeles, a presidential election year right before they go into the finish line of fall. This is going to be the most insane time ever. If you're a Democrat, are you worried about that timing because you know Los Angeles is bad and you know that it's a mess? And it's going to get there. What are they going to do? They're going to have tons of protests. They're going to have to get police out there. Then there's going to be stories of brutality. It's going to be crazy. Oh my gosh. Because you're going to have all of those antagonists that are going to be looking to seize attention for whatever cause they want from this event. Out of any Olympics, this is one I would not go to. I mean, I'm not interested in going to them anyway, but I would not go to this one. That just seems very unsafe. The closing ceremony is going to be at the LA Memorial Coliseum. The first medal is going to be in Venice Beach. I have friends that live in Venice Beach, and they're fighting off homeless, and then they've had protests. How is that going to happen? are they going to do what China did? And they went in and literally scooped up people and transported them to the rural countryside and made them stay there. That's what they did in Beijing.
That's kind of what Gavin Newsom did when she came and visited. If you remember.
When she, that's right.
They took all the homeless out, cleaned up the streets really quick for that 2-day op.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh my gosh. So think, so again, Olympics in LA, the summer of a presidential election year. I'm just saying, I hope Republicans, which they're not, because, but if I were the RNC, which I have no idea what they're doing, I would already be preparing the templates for ads for this, because it is going to be a hot mess. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards Today in Stupidity.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Make sure you sign up over at Substack Chapter and Verse, because I'm going to put out a piece that just kind of goes over some of the stuff with the Epstein back and forth. And I don't know if anybody's advising him. I don't think anybody's advising him. But I mean, I really think it's just bad for the president to go at voters like this, his own supporters, and say, because he had put on Truth Social, I don't want their support. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? We're going into a midterm year. Please, for the love of all things holy, don't say that. Stop it. Why does he do this? Why? Oh my gosh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Someone tell him to not do this, please. I don't even care who it is. Just someone, please stop. Stop the man. If you see him getting his phone, talk to post on Truth Social about this, you sneeze and act like you're falling over and knock it out of his hand. I don't care. I don't care. No jury would convict you. All right. Today in Stupidity.
Can we make it Gavin Newsom, Cut 16?
Yeah.
Juan, let's just play Cut 16. It kind of makes me chuckle, though, to hear it, but go ahead and play.
All that reputational damage that's being done as they're sitting there on horses with American flags running through soccer fields, scaring kids that are playing soccer in the middle of the day at a summer camp. For what? Just toughness. It's a weakness masquerading as strength. That's what I don't like about this son of a b-.
Oh, he calls you so tough.
Forgive me. I know he's the president of the United States. Forgive me. I didn't, you know.
Oh, my gosh. He is so calls easy me to read.
Hold on. Listen.
You know, come on. I mean, how do I explain that to my kid?
He calls my kids new scum.
Oh my gosh. Just be like, I mean, it's politics. Grow up. This is so, he's good with messaging, but he's not a great actor. We see this. We see it. I'll be up on Will Cain's show on Fox coming up later this afternoon. Find us YouTube, Facebook. Good night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.